same thing as the spiritual gift of healing anyway?
No. Depends on how you interpret the spiritual gift of healing. No man has it. That's the bottom line. Only Christ can heal. If he wants to. What if he doesn't want to? I used to work with a guy. I talked to another guy I worked with just 2 days ago. And a month ago, I talked to another guy I worked with. The guy's name is John Spears, the one we were talking about. Well, I met a guy in the dollar store. He said John Spears' wife is a Pentecostal, and John Spears had cancer, and they healed him. I talked to another guy just the other day, and he's dead now. Well, if they healed him, something went wrong, didn't it? Yeah. No, mankind does not have the so-called gift of healing. Only Jesus Christ can heal. And you can't expect him to unless there's a valid reason for it.
So if Walter Martin was healed by God, that doesn't mean that the gifts are still part of today.
No. It means... What's that?
No person that is healed. God
yeah.
is healed himself.
Yeah, but if... That's right. But if God does decide... I got a sister, bless her heart. She came to this church a few times. She's not coming again. She's going to another church. She said she bought some books, and she's going to let this other church heal her. I got news for you. I haven't talked to her, but it ain't going to happen. First of all, it's just like this scenario. If people who die, and they go see a bright light, and they come back, and first of all, if you're healed, there's got to be a reason for it. I can understand Walter Martin being healed because of his ministry. I mean, he did so much. But the average person sitting out there comes up and I slap them in the back of the head and they get healed. What's the outcome? Is God going to receive the glory for it? All these things, you know. And is this guy going to go back and tell somebody how to be saved? That's the bottom line. If nobody gets saved from it, it ain't from God. People got saved by Walter Martin, you know.
Yeah, he had a lot.
Uh-huh. I can understand that. I have the same problem occasionally. Absolutely. If people don't get saved, and what I was going to say was, how many times I've heard and read articles, people die and they see a bright light and they come back and they were floating above their body and all this other garbage. But and then they always say similar to the same thing. Well, God sent me back. He wasn't through with me yet. Okay. When you came back, what did you tell people? Did you tell them how to be saved? Well, if you didn't, whatever happened to you wasn't from God. It was a false. If you didn't come back and tell people that Christ died on the cross for them, it's not from God. Mark it down. And you know how many people I've talked to that think they're saved because they saw something, a miracle, or they saw a sign, or they saw a bright light? You cannot, I got to tell you, and when you boil them down, say, well, how did you get saved? I saw the vision, and I've talked to at least a half a dozen women over the years that told me, I saw a light, and I know what I saw, don't tell me. And you know what? If you don't believe Christ died on the cross for you, you can see all the bright lights and get healed and do everything you want. But the bottom line is, if nobody gets saved from it, it's not from God. Mark that down. That's it. And I can go through the Bible probably and prove that over and over and over again. No, take a faith healer down and let them do it. They won't do it. They get indignant. And, Jay.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I've got choked out and stuff with Jesus and things like that. And there's been times where I come back to being conscious, and it would almost be like, it would brighten up a bright light. I think that's just a natural phenomenon of being without oxygen in your brain.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know.
I think it's something that just happens.
When you just die, life is God. You know, Paul, in first, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, the Lord wouldn't heal Paul. And if he wouldn't heal Paul, and he wouldn't heal Timothy. Paul told Timothy, drink no longer water but wine for thy many infirmities. Well, how come Paul didn't heal him? And then you go to the book of James, and it talks about oil. oil, healing. And then you go to some churches and they'll take a little oil and dip them, put on to heal. But that's not what it means. Oil was a medicine in those days. The only medicine they had, certain oils. And that's why they didn't have all these doctors that we do today. So the elders would all get together and they'd anoint this person with oil, which was a medicine. And if the Lord wanted to heal him, he would. But the bottom line is, one more time, if nobody gets saved from it, there's no reason why God would even do it. So that's my impression of all that. Walter Martin, I had no doubt in my mind that the Lord healed him, and he's healed an awful lot of good men in the ministry that ask him to. He's healed a lot of them. But on the other hand, I know an awful lot of good men in the ministry that are getting sick today. And there, I know two preachers that acquired diabetes. And I know one preacher, and you know, you've heard me talk to him, and he's had both of his legs removed from diabetes. And he's still preaching the gospel. How come the Lord didn't heal him? You know, maybe the Lord doesn't want to. But the Lord does heal. I agree with Vince. You know, the Lord does heal, but only when he wants to and if he sees fit. And what if he doesn't heal? You know, and I used to work with a guy that went to, he came to work one night and he just, oh, robust, you know, and the day before he was, and he said, I knew what was going to happen. He said, oh, I went to church last night and how they healed me. The first thing he said was, I cut down a great big old tree I've been wanting to cut down in my front yard. And I thought, here we go. I knew what was coming. And he said, went to church last night and they healed me. Guess what? A year later, he died of Lou Gehrig's disease. Well, if that church healed you, my friend, you should be healed, you know. But not only that, what they healed him of was a bad back, supposedly. And about a week after that, his back, he couldn't hardly walk. But he eventually died of Lou Gehrig's disease, and he looked terrible when he died. That's a devastating... Well, you know what? When the Lord heals you, you're healed. Now, you might not live forever, but when the Lord heals you, you're healed. He does it for reasons. And there are times when, like he told Paul, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And there are times when a preacher goes through illnesses and sicknesses, and it's all for the glory of God. Because a good example would be... Sonny Blue Eye. He never once, he suffered diabetes. He was gone 3 times a week for dialysis. Never once did I hear him complain. You know what his sickness was all about? It was God's grace sufficient for him, and he proved it by his attitude. I don't know if I could even handle that. So he wasn't always that upbeat, but every time I talked to him, he just praised God and talked about all he was trying to do for the Lord and how good the Lord had been to him. And here he'd lost this leg, and he'd lost that. I mean, you know, that was the way it was with Paul. Paul, the Lord used him, whether he was healed or not. And he doesn't always do that. None of this stuff is demonology. When you see a preacher on TV claim to heal somebody, it's nothing more than demonology. I'll tell you something. A demon-possessed person, and I've told you this before, can heal a demon-possessed person. It glorifies Satan. Not Christ. Satan gets the glory for it in the long run. Because if you go to that church and that church heals and you get people, I went to a funeral Monday. And the funeral was done by a Pentecostal preacher. My aunt died. Now the service wasn't bad. And he probably wasn't a bad guy and he probably wasn't a bad preacher. Well, whatever. I'm just saying that to be nice. But I got to tell you, he said that my aunt told him that she was saved because she saw a vision once. And he said, she's a Pentecostal Christian. A Pentecostal Christian. If you go back and read the account of Pentecost in the book of Acts, the Pentecostal church today is a lie. It's nothing more than a lie. And then they use the phrase unknown tongues. You ever hear that? Well, if you go in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to the where the word, or chapter 14, where the word is unknown is used, the word unknown is not in the original context. Yeah, because you'll see the word unknown used twice, and it's always written in italics, which means it's not original. It was put in by the translators to make it easy to understand. So if you claim to speak in an unknown tongue, you're not a Bible scholar at all. You're a Bible idiot. So, I mean, let's just be logical about the whole thing. No, I don't... I'll tell you, when I get on that subject, I go half nuts. Or maybe I go completely nuts. I don't know. Okay. Did anybody have any preferences where we wanted to go? Ron, did you have anything? Bill? You had your hand up.
Bible study is worship. Don't you think studying your Bible aren't descriptions?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
You need to prove it.
Prove that Bible study is worship?
Well, you know, you see a lot of the churches and they all have their hands up and they're listening to music and everybody's like in a trance and
Well, I think we can prove it.
And nobody knows the Bible. We get to go to worship. I'll make sure we talk about Jesus, but nobody can actually see it by the Lord. Nobody can give a good salvation message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so well,
I believe that Bible study is worship, but there's also commandments telling us to study the Bible.
Yeah.
And if you talk to a Pentecostal, they really don't know the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you tell them tongues aren't for us today, they'll take your Bible and throw it on the floor. I've had it happen. Max has had it happen. Just take your Bible, lady. I don't care what that says. So, but that's how they are. But I can give you a couple of verses that show that we are told to study the Bible. We are told to do that.
I know we're told, but how do we bring it out as a better glorification to Christ?
You know what? I don't think... I don't know if I would do it that way. You're talking about a Pentecostal church and the things they do, and trying to show them that studying the Bible is the thing to do.
Yeah.
Understanding the Bible. The only verse I would show them as far as the Bible study, then I'll show you what I would do, okay? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved. If you don't study the Bible, you speak in tongues, you're not showing yourself approved unto God.
See, even in Corinthians, as I said, it's like prophecy is the greatest, and that just meant that to be able to explain the Bible is not what you do.
Yeah, being able to explain the Bible, but
edifies the most.
Yeah. And the reason I'm saying what I'm saying is I have talked to Pentecostals in this area and tried to show them the importance of Bible study and understanding the Bible. They just... go ahead.
But not only that, but studying is far harder and more of a discipline than playing music and raising your hand up.
Yes, and... But they won't agree with you. No matter what verses you bring up. What I have done with the Pentecostal, and they wind up always being angry, and then we don't talk anymore. But I always go to Acts chapter 2, the Pentecostal experience, and the first thing I say to them is, "So you're a Pentecostal?" "Yes." "Well, then you believe in the Pentecostal movement, and you believe in being a Pentecostal Christian?" The answer is always yes. I take them back to the book of Acts chapter 2, and I say, "What did you experience in your church? Was there a rushing mighty wind?" They always answer, "Well, no." "Was there cloven tongues of fire sitting on everybody's head?" "Well, no." "Did you understand, well, there are a lot of languages in your church?" "Well, everybody was speaking in tongues." But then you got to circle that one. And you say, "Well, that's not my question. If they were speaking in, no matter what language, did you understand what they were saying?" The answer will always be, "Well, no." Then my answer to them is, "You are not a Christian. What you felt and what you did was false. It was a lie. It's not in the Bible." That's my answer to him. And, Jay, did you have something? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Well, I just wondered, can you think of a best verse you can think of that would basically say, knowing the gospel is more important than feeling good?
Well, absolutely. 1 Corinthians. Chapter, the various places. Go in your Bible here to 1 Corinthians.
It seems to be the main concern that they all feel good about it.
They do. I can give you a couple of verses here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I can give you the verses that I would try to use. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that tells us that the Bible, when the Bible is complete, tongues will cease. But the Pentecostal will not agree with that. You can tell them that all day long. He won't agree with it. But I go to Acts chapter 2, like I just said. And then I go to Acts chapter 14, and another thing that I point out is, I would just soon be like the Apostle Paul. If I'm going to be anybody, that's who I would rather be. And Paul was spiritual, he glorified God, he did all these things. And I would just as soon be like the Apostle Paul if I'm going to serve the Lord. And then I go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and you had your hand up, Vince?
Yeah, I got a question. How do you know as he was writing that letter that it was going to be included in the Bible, that when there was people
Because the Lord told him. The Lord told him it would be. Yeah, he knew it. 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I shall come to Revelations. He knew that everything he did was going to be in the Word of God. And then in Acts chapter 24 and 28, when he rehearsed his history in front of the Roman court and so forth, he told him that the Lord was going to give him and reveal to him revelation. So he knew it. He knew it all along. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I shall come to revelations. And then he went on to say, well, let me read it for you here. Then we'll get back to 1 Corinthians. But he said, let's see.
Wouldn't that be something good to point out to you for yourself as a follower?
Okay, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul the Apostle, verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations. Revelations, the Bible. That's what it is. Revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, that he was talking about just after the Damascus Road. Just 14, whether in the body, remember when Paul the Apostle was almost stoned to death in the book of Acts. Remember that? On his missionary journey, okay, one of three. He was almost stoned to death, and he probably was, in my opinion. And he was caught up to paradise. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. By the way, I use this verse once against Pentecostal too. They call the tongues a angelic language. And I said, well, that's funny. Paul said, what he heard up in paradise, it's not lawful to speak about. But they won't listen to that either. How he was caught up into paradise, heard unspeakable words, so forth. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. So Paul glories in his infirmities, sicknesses. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or heareth that in me. And lest I should be... Now, this is very important here. This next... I'm in verse 7 right now. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. This is an important verse. You know another thing the Pentecostal church does when they get into their tongues and you know what they do? They exalt themselves, don't they? You ever seen? Well, Paul said, because he's getting all these revelations from God, and he knows it's happening, and he said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Now, see what he's saying? I could have exalted myself abundantly because of all these revelations I'm getting from God. And I could have exalted myself. He could have done that.
And that goes back to the illness.
Yes.
So
yeah. He said, absolutely. It goes back to the illnesses. But he said, because he goes on and answers that, he said, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, some kind of an illness. I don't know what it was. There's all kinds of speculation. I just don't know what it was. It could have been blindness because he had to write with big letters when he wrote anything. He always had to have like a secretary around, someone to do his writing and so forth. But the reason is a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. lest I should be exalted above measure, you see. So the Lord didn't heal him. He wanted him to be humble. You humbled him. Otherwise, he would have been exalted above measure. I can understand that. I can understand that.
If you read verse 10, it says, therefore, I take pleasure in somebody who reproaches
and persecutions and strengths of Christ. Yep,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because he could have been strong if he was still strong.
Yeah, if he was all puffed up with pride, yeah. You know, I tell people whenever someone takes my place behind, especially our young people, I always tell them, if you walk up there with humility, you'll walk down with pride. But when you walk up here in pride, you'll definitely walk down in humility. And I've seen it many, many times. But he said, he rejoiced in his infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. So, you know, God may not heal. You know, that healing stuff is really a joke. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians 14. I haven't answered the question on does Bible study glorify God. I really haven't answered that. The answer is yes, but I don't know which verse to go to prove that.
Well, maybe you should go on for a while.
Yeah, well, I'm open to verses if anybody can give me one. You know. Well, that would help the Pentecostals out, I believe. Yeah. Jay?
Well, how about right here in chapter 14, verse 12, there's for as much as you're zealous for spiritual gifts, you think you're telling to edify the church. So I guess you just have to show that edifying the church.
Well, that's where I was going to go. Yeah. Then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when I get through here. But here's what Paul said concerning glorifying Christ, edifying the church. I don't believe tongues and the things that goes on in these Pentecostal churches glorifies anyone except the people that are doing it, especially the preacher.
And you know, their churches don't seem to grow, I don't believe, as much. Unless the young ones they get, they just end up quitting churches and going to other churches. They're constantly already having the same kind of cost of people. They're just flip-flopping churches. They get tired of it.
Yeah.
And they get run out of the church for some other reason. They're finished with church.
There are a lot of big churches in the world, but if you'll notice, on most of the big TV churches, they're full of different people all the time because people are always traveling, and there's always somebody wanting to visit that great big church. So they're always full, but it's not always the same people, if you've ever taken attention to that. But I've told you many times, if you're in this church, you'll never be in a big church because the truth just is not acceptable. And if you teach the Bible, you guys are going to be there someday. You're going to be doing it. And don't expect a big ministry. Unless, of course, you do start speaking in tongues and rolling around doing all that stuff. Then you can have a big church. But it'll be a lie. But the truth just is not accepted. And I don't know why it just is. That's just the way it is.
Not the Berean.
The Berean Church? Yeah, the Bible says in the book of Acts that they were more noble. The ones in Berea were more noble because they studied to see whether these things were so. As a matter of fact, that'd be a good verse to use. The Bereans in the book of Acts. I don't remember exactly which verse. Yeah, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied to see if these things were so. Yeah, they studied the Bible to see whether these things were so. Yeah. I think I know which verse it is, but give me a minute here. Yeah, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they studied chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 10 through 12. Those are the verses. And what was happening was the Judaizers were traveling around telling people that they had to obey the law or do this or do that to get saved. And Paul the Apostle and some of the other men criticized it and said, no, that's not true. So the Bereans, in order to decide if it was true or not, went and studied the Bible. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, verse 11, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That would probably be a good verse to show them. I don't know.
How about,
that's it. I'm glad you brought that up. Well, you can go through all the Bible telling you to do that. Psalms and Proverbs tells you to do that. But
but
I think the one in the book of Acts are probably a good one to build if you, you know. I don't know. Not that they'd listen to you. But. Okay, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Like I said, I would just as soon be like Paul the Apostle. And I can give you all kinds of verses. You've already looked at a lot of them here. In verse 19, now this is concerning tongues. It doesn't have anything to do with spiritual healings or anything like that. But he said, yet in verse 19, in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding that by my voice, which these words are added to, by the way, that I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. And if they don't get that, they'll never get anything. So, but I'll tell you something. If you understand the Bible at all, you really should consider yourself lucky. And if you have a grip on salvation and works, or if you know the difference between Israel and the church, if you know when the rapture is going to take place. If you have a good understanding, I don't mean the date, but if you understand the Bible, you ought to think, just, that's enough to praise God and to yourself. But the Pentecostal just won't do it. I don't care how many verses you give them. Yeah, I would rather, what is 1 Corinthians chapter 2? Yeah, you could, but they wouldn't listen to that either. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, now some of these verses you could use, but some of them they would accept as theirs. Like in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, said, my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. They'd use that and say, well, you see, we got healed. That's a demonstration of the Spirit and the power. They'd use that one. But there are other verses in the, but I read this quite regularly. I'll open up my Bible and read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 because there are so many things like verse 9 or 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What does He reveal to us? Well, everything. Verse 7. We speak the mystery of God in the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the Bible is unto our glory when we learn it. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Healing and tongues, it doesn't search anything. And that's the reason Paul put this in here. Because as he continued to write to the church in Corinth against their speaking in tongues and what they were doing, he tried to tell them what they really needed, and that was God's spiritual wisdom, which he would give to them freely. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. There's anything about healing or tongues or anything else, just knowing what? The Bible. Knowing and understanding the Bible. And remember, we had a couple come in our church once that were Pentecostals. They used to come here. And as soon as I said and treated them nice, welcomed them, they sat down, didn't have a Bible. And as soon as we said, I said, welcome to Christian Bible Church. We are an English-speaking church, and what did I say that really kind of angered you? You remember, Ron? We are a church founded on sound doctrine. And as soon as I said that, they walked up, got up, walked out, and one of the young kids in the church said the guy was saying, sound doctrine, sound doctrine, sound doctrine. I guess that word's upsetting. But it does, it upsets them. Yeah, Darrell? Well, read the book of Titus. Sound doctrine is used in every chapter at least twice. Teach them sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Tongues, spiritual healings, all these things are not sound doctrine. They're just... Not really. No. I got to tell you, though, I went to a church in Chardon. I was taking a course in psychology. I thought about being a counselor many years ago. I changed my mind. But I realized that this church was not really based on sound doctrine, but I got to tell you, the preacher knew his Bible. I mean, he knew his Bible. To this day, I've never put my finger on his problem. To this day. The only thing I can figure out is, they were into tongues, and he took the Bible and twisted it, and I went and had a talk with him before I quit going, because I wanted to know, I didn't want to be a hypocrite or anything. And what he did say to me was, they have a room set aside, so if anybody has a new revelation, he calls it, but they go in the room that way, the service isn't interrupted. And, of course, you know which verse he used to try to uphold that one. Other than that, I quit going. But they were into tongues, and, of course, they had the word repent all found up and everything else. But I was really amazed because this guy knew his Bible, and his Bible was marked. I mean, he had notes, and it was wore out, and he knew it. He just didn't get it right. So I'll never understand. Never to this day could really get a grip on what his problem was. That just, whatever. But you know, in the 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, we speak not in words which man and wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The only way you can do that is Bible study. Study the Bible. You can't compare spiritual things with spiritual unless you study the Bible. So, other than that, I don't know what to tell you, Bill. I really don't. I will think about it, though.
Did everybody think about it and see what you can come up with?
So. Yeah. What's that? Yeah, also Psalm 118. Yeah. And I believe it's Psalm 96. Yeah. That's about the best I can do with that. Well, we got a few minutes left. Why don't you go over to James, if you will, chapter 5. Well, you got a few minutes left here. Concerning healing, James has a good answer over here in chapter 5. In verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any married? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I personally believe that the oil that they used was for a medication. That's what I personally believe, but he didn't have a lot of doctors and so forth. But next verse answers, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults once, but the whole key is faith and prayer. Prayer. And then it goes on to talk about Elijah and what he did. But there's a lot of things that go along with that, but basically, you know, a person just doesn't get healed because they got slapped on the head. Maybe the Lord doesn't want to. Jay?
Do you think that maybe even it would go going too far to suggest that, like, approved things or wherever people are getting their verses for healing the sick? Would it be wrong to say that maybe it's just symbolic of getting a lost person saved? If you're lost, you're sick. You get saved and get healed from the penalty of death. Or that goes too far?
Well, no. That's what the word healed in Isaiah chapter 53 means. But the bottom line is, once again, if for God, it's just like God healed Walter Martin. But he's not going to heal a person unless God receives the glory for it, and that glory is always by somebody being saved. That's my opinion. If nobody gets saved from it, somehow or other, let's suppose a deacon in a church gets sick. Let's suppose he's a heck of a good witness. And people are getting saved. And he gets sick. And he goes and says, and he asks the fellows in the church and the women and everybody to pray for him. And they do. And suppose he gets healed. I can understand that. Because he's telling people how to be saved. And maybe the Lord got him sick to humble him a little bit. And then he healed him. Says, boy, you know, now I'm really going to tell people how to be saved. I'm not, the Lord healed me, and I'm going to go. But if people don't get saved from it, it's not from God. That's the bottom line. That's my opinion, and I'm going to stick to it. I don't care who it is or where it is. I visited houses in Rome, I've told you many times. And you know how many times out there, that was a hard area. How many times I visited the home, and the children would say, I invite them to church, the children would say, be standing behind mom and dad, or mom, usually. Yeah, can we go, mom? And mom, I don't know how many times I heard this out there. Well, no, I don't need to go to church. I know what I've seen, literally. I saw a light, and I know what I saw. I don't need church. I got a new, you know what? That person is not saved. And I feel sorry for them because they're keeping their kids from being saved with that stupid attitude. If people get healed like Walter Martin, there was good reason for that. No doubt in my mind that the Lord healed him for a good reason. He was preaching the gospel. People were getting saved. He was a brilliant. He was a Bible scholar. He could quote verses I couldn't even come close to.
John McCarthy had said that.
He did. Yeah, I believe it.
But I mean, does it mean that it doesn't mean that he healed him because he had written something
called
Christ?
He could have
just
been making
the Bible.
Could be,
but. He's got great notes in his Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he said a lot of things. I know salvation is really important.
Yeah.
You know, could be more things to. The people that did believe in that were saved and that maybe didn't get saved by him. A little bit more of a devastating effect of them praying for him all the time and then just die.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more devastating for them.
Yeah.
First of their faith.
Now, I think it's dangerous that, like, for somebody like me to say, well, that person, God didn't heal that person because. It's dangerous for me to make a statement like that. Or it's dangerous for me to make a statement, well, God healed that person. The truth is, I don't know, but I do know this. If that person has a ministry and people are getting saved from it, there's no doubt that in my mind that God healed them. Because that's the only reason why he should. But if he keeps somebody, Paul, humbled, people are going to get saved that way too. Because as long as Paul was humble and understood God's mercy and grace, well, people got saved that way. So it's dangerous to assume one way or the other. Jay?
Because, I mean, I like to give God credit for everything because he is in control of everything. But at the same token, I mean, he designed bodies to heal themselves.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes we do so much damage to our bodies, there's no way they'll heal.
Yeah.
So, could go either way. And, heck, I might get sick and die next week because I deserve it. You never know. You know.
But you could just get sick and heal, and it could have just been a natural course of things. Again, I really accepted either one.
Yeah, you never, never really know. But I know one thing, I don't believe in faith healers. I just don't believe in that.
I mean, except for the entropy, we shouldn't be falling apart anyway.
No, we shouldn't.
Except for the fall, I mean, we were designed to rebound.
Entropy, that's the word. Yeah. What is entropy? That's good. See? You see how much wisdom you guys got? You know where you got that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave it to you. Do you have any questions, Ron, or anything? Well, that's all I can add to that stuff. Anything else? I was going to go to Hebrews chapter 10 tonight, but I guess we won't do that. We don't have time to do that. Anyway, I'll see what I can come up with, Bill, but I really don't think there's anything you can come up with that'll deter the added. Okay. You probably will, but they won't listen. Yeah, they won't listen. You could quote every verse in here, and they I don't even waste my time with them. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, you need to do that. I'm not complaining about that. That's good. But I used to do that too, but I'm getting too old for it. I leave all that stuff up to you young guys. I'm too old. I'm just gonna drive a few nails now and then and things like that. How's Dana doing? Guess who I got a visit from today, right out front? Mary and Julius.
Oh.
Yep.
They're out here doing an account, right?
Huh?
They're doing an account out here?
Yeah, and they got an account at the post office in Madison, and they were real happy. And Julius jumped out of his truck and gave me a big old hug, and I was sweating like crazy. I felt terrible. But then Mary did too, and said they were going to come back. I don't know if they will or not. But I was glad to see them. But they give all the glory to their work and everything to God. They do that. So I give them credit for that much anyway. So it was nice to see them. And whatever, they know where they belong, and they know that everybody wants them back in church. So they just leave it all up to them. Well, if there's nothing else, we'll have a word of prayer and close then, I guess. Next week, we'll get back on our questions so that we can prepare for that. Let's see, Sunday, there won't be any service. And by the time you guys come back the following Sunday, the front almost should be almost done by then, I hope. And make the church look good. We had a lady come over the other day when we were working here, was asking us what was going on. Was you here, Ron, when she... No, just before you came, she threw some garbage across the street. She lived in an apartment. She looked and looked and looked, and I saw her looking. So we took a break and sat down up there. She finally come over, and she said, "What are you guys doing?" And we told her, "Oh, this is still a church, yeah. Good, we need more churches in the community." And I thought, that's good. It'd be nice if you would go to one, but I doubt if she ever will. But anyway, nice person, so. Yeah, we need more people going where they hear the Bible. That's what we need. There are good Bible teaching churches around. Just go find them. This is just one of the many. One of the many. I think we are. Anyway. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for, the opportunity to teach your word, the opportunity to understand it. It's rewarding. It's a blessing. And, actually, we get a lot of glory out of it. It's just a blessing and an honor. to be able to understand your word, for you to teach it to us, the meaning. And it's just a wonderful, glorious thing. Dear Lord, we just thank you for it. And we just ask, Lord, that we might be able to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in one way or another. In his name we pray. Amen.